Thank you and good morning. So I'll be talking to you about a little of my master's research into the cryopreservation of University of Hawaii dendrobium orchid varieties. So just a little bit of background into Hawaii's orchid industry. The first dendrobium orchid arrived for a hobbyist in the late 1800s, and this really sparked an interest both for collectors and plant growers for a whole new variety of plant to explore. In the 1950s, a breeding program at the University of Hawaii began to really investigate the potential of dendrobiums, and I'll get more into that in a moment. In 2007, the industry saw a high in the sale of orchids, with over $21 million in sales coming in for both cut flowers and potted plants. And a few years later, we're still seeing high sales, though it is beginning to drop off a little bit due to import and export costs, as well as international competition. So when we look at the breeding program started in the 1950s by Dr. Kamimoto, he did a lot of background work on dendrobiums to really understand the cytogenetics and develop a strong protocol for variety development. And one of the things that came out of this was the production of a bunch of University of Hawaii varieties that are all amphidiploid. And this is really important as these are seedlings that are almost entirely uniform in terms of their morphology and flower production. And this gave the growers a lot of different varieties and colors, different forms of dendrobiums to work with in the industry. So these are very important orchids. They're still widely used in the cut flower potted plant business, and it's something that we really want to preserve as a germplasm going forward, both just for the uniqueness and also for future breeding work. And currently, these orchids are maintained both in vitro and in a greenhouse setting, and both of these take up quite a bit of space and time to maintain. So I wanted to explore cryopreservation as a way of reducing the space and time commitments to maintaining these through a possibly indefinite storage. So to do this work, I looked at two main UH dendrobium varieties, UH1427 and UH232. And both varieties were obtained through a local grower as in vitro seedlings for this work. So the explant materials that I worked with when doing all the cryo work were shoot tips harvested from these in vitro plantlets. The plantlets were only about 3 inches tall, and shoot tips came out to being around 2 to 3 centimeters in length. So when we look at cryopreservation, there's a lot of different protocols that can be explored, and I opted to look into droplet vitrification, which is just one method of preparing explants for submergence in liquid nitrogen and storage. So the first step of the process is a pretreatment, and here we're just trying to increase the concentration of solutes inside the cells for freezing and to prevent bursting during that freezing. With the 1427 variety, we utilized a Vasin and Wendt semi-solid media enhanced with 15% coconut water, and that combination was used throughout the successive solutions that I'll talk about for that variety. With this 1427, we did look at two different sucrose concentrations, 0.3 and 0.4 molar, and explants were plated on this media for 3 days. With the UH232, we opted to try the Murashige and Skoog media in a liquid form, also supplemented with coconut water. These explants were placed in the solution with 0.3 molar sucrose for 3 days and kept on a rotary shaker. So once the pretreatment is complete, we move on to the loading of the different cryo solutions. And first up is an osmoprotective solution, and this is those basic medias supplemented with glycerol and a high sucrose content, and this is to really start to stabilize the cells at their current volume. And explants are placed into this liquid solution for 20 minutes and held at room temperature. Once that's complete, we moved on to the plant vitrification solution 2, or PVS2, and this is just commonly used in the industry as a cryo for numerous plant types. This has components of glycerol, ethylene glycol, dimethyl sulfoxide, and sucrose. And this is beginning to dehydrate the cells and prepare them for further freezing. Once we get past all these loading solutions, And again, the PVS-2 is also for 20 minutes at room temperature. We're ready to actually put the explants into liquid nitrogen. And to do this is where the droplet vitrification portion of the cryopreservation comes in. This is an approach whereby we take small pieces of aluminum foil, 20 to 7 millimeters in length, and in 10 to 20 microliter droplets of the PVS-2 solution, we suspend one shoot tip. And then these pieces of aluminum foil with the shoot tips, we drop immediately into liquid nitrogen and allow the cells to fully freeze for an hour. Based on a lot of literature reviews, the hour seems to be just fine for fully freezing the plants. Longer durations do not affect the outcome of the results. Once the hour is up, we need to thaw the explants. So to do this, they are moved into a rinsing solution, which is just a room temperature liquid media enhanced with 1.2 molar sucrose. And these strips with their shoot tips on top sit in that for about 40 minutes just to allow everything to naturally come apart, begin to warm up. And this high sucrose also helps to rehydrate the cells that have been infiltrated with all the chemicals during the cryosolution portion. Once everything is thawed and beginning to rehydrate, we move into our plating and recovery of the shoot tips. And we first blot everything on sterile filter paper and then plate them onto recovery media. And the recovery media is based on what's been used throughout. So again, the 1427 is on the Vastenin Wendt, and the UH-232 is on a Murashige and Skoog. And both these medias are in a semi-solid form supplemented with 15% coconut water and 2% sucrose, which is just our standard growth media for them. We first place them into the dark box for a dark recovery for a week, then under two layers of cheesecloth under our lights for another week, and finally move them back to normal growing conditions to evaluate regeneration of the plant. So what we find is that we do get regeneration, though it's very low. This graph is looking at each step of the process, and at each step we pulled out 5 to 10 shoot tips just to evaluate what is happening there. And with our excision-only controls, we do have really high levels of regeneration. There's a little bit of mortality that does occur there. But when we first hit that pretreatment and the shoot tips are exposed to a 0.3 or 0.4 molar sucrose for the 3 days, we really see the regeneration start to drop off there. And that holds for the successive steps. In the end, we were able to regenerate two shoot tips of 1427 from the 0.3 molar pretreatment and one from the 0.4 molar sucrose pretreatment. And out of the UH-232, three shoot tips did come back from that. So when we look at the shoot tips that are regenerating, we do see that they're displaying normal growth and morphological characteristics compared with our controls, so there don't seem to be any ill effects of the freezing other than low regeneration resulting. So what we were able to conclude from this initial work is that it was possible to regenerate these two UH syndrobium varieties, UH-1427 and UH-232. However, it was a very low regeneration, and there is definite room for improvement of these protocols as we move forward. One area that really needs to be looked at is that pretreatment step. That's where we began to really see a drop-off in regeneration of the shoot tips. And two main areas to consider are both the length and the sucrose concentration. It could be that the 0.3 molar sucrose is just much too high for this. Many people have stated that something more in the 0.2 range might be more acceptable for the plants. And once we can develop a protocol, not only is the preservation of the germplasm going to be very important, possibly using this technique, but we're also hoping to apply it for virus elimination of the orchids. There have been a lot of work done with other crops and ornamentals, including bananas and geraniums, and there has been success in freezing the explants and upon regeneration finding the virus to have been eliminated. And with orchids, we would specifically like to apply this to eliminating Cymbidium mosaic and Odonoglossum ring spot viruses, as they are the most prevalent in the commercial production of orchids. And our initial work has indicated that the Odonoglossum ring spot virus is going to be difficult to eliminate through this means, most likely due to how the virus moves throughout the plant. And unfortunately, none of the plants infected with Cymbidium mosaic virus were able to regenerate. So that's definitely something that might have some more potential as we continue to move forward. So, thank you very much. Not at this time. This was mostly just a look at could they regenerate to start with. We did examine a few other approaches, including a vitrification and an encapsulation method for the cryopreservation, and both of those failed to result in regeneration. So I do believe that we need to continue that with larger labs. That is definitely something they do, is beyond the year. You start looking at 1 year and 5 years down the line. Can these plants still come back, and are there any adverse effects to that?